In John chapter 16 this evening, let's read just a few verses from verse 16. What I'm going to do with the rest of this chapter, a lot of it's self-explanatory. Some of it we've already covered as we've come through the book of John. And so we're going to finish this chapter and probably spend 2 or 3 weeks in chapter 17. And he says here in verse 16, a little while, and you shall not see me. And again, a little while, and you shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, what is this that he saith unto us, a little while, and you shall see not, shall not rather see me. And again, a little while, and you shall see me, and because I go to the Father. Of course, they're reasoning among themselves about his statement. Now, I'm just going to go ahead and pray. Again, we're just going to read through the rest of this chapter, several verses. I wanted to keep this together and make a few comments on it. Father, we thank you tonight for your love and kindness. We thank you, Lord, for the salvation that you've given to us, the encouragement that you've given to us through the Word of God and through thy Holy Spirit. We thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. God, is this church history that we look back upon, and as we're reading tonight, nearly 2,000 years ago, and God, we see that all around the world, the people are still meeting, fellowshipping with one another, singing the songs of Zion. Lord, in looking into Thy Word and praying together and seeking Thy will, and God, help us to continue to do that, Lord, until You come. We ask all of these things in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. For 2 weeks, we were in John chapter, the latter part of John 15, the earlier part of John 16, and we were looking at the subject of persecution and the warning that the Lord had given to His disciples, and also we looked at the fact that He gave them comfort in these persecutions. And then last Sunday night, we took just a few verses from verses 7 through about verse 13 or 14. And we looked at the ministry of the Holy Spirit, not only to the believer, but also the ministry of the Holy Spirit to the unbeliever. And verse 8 sums up the ministry of the Holy Spirit to the unbeliever. This evening, we're going to just read through these verses. I told the men, I said, we'll have a short service after we spend an hour and a half together back there, and I'm going to try to live up to that if I can. But I hope that you've gotten things out of this upper room discourse that the Lord has given to me, and I hope you've even got more so than I've gotten. But there's three things that keep coming to me that when we finish this section in chapter 17 in the weeks to come, probably in the month of October, I'm going to come back and preach a Sunday morning message that will be an overview of all of these chapters. You say, why would you want to do that after tearing us through these for many weeks and months? You know, there's three things that I see that are in especially chapter 13 and 14 and 15 that really stand out to me that He gave to His disciples. I want you to think about this. Let me give these to you, and then we're going to go through these verses, and I'm going to shut up, and we're going to go home. But let me give you three thoughts that I want you to be thinking on if you get nothing else out of this. Number one, now this is the night, as I've said many times already, before Jesus Christ would go to the cross and die. Now, you know what He could have done this night? The Lord could have went through many hours of theological teachings and training. He could have spent time pointing out all of their faults and the things they didn't do or should have done. He could have spent all this time. But the night before that the Lord went to the cross, in chapter 14, 15, and 16 especially, He promises them what He calls the Comforter. He says, I want to give you a commission. And he says, I'm going to give you some help in that. Now, I want you to listen to these three things that stand out in my mind as I have come through these chapters. In chapter 13, the thing that stands out in that chapter is an unconditional love for one another. He says that love one another as I have loved you. He said, this is the way that people are going to know you're my disciples. Not spouting off 1,000 scriptures, you know, and not knowing all of the doctrines of the Bible. I'm not saying those things are wrong. They're good. But he said that people shall know that you're my disciples for your love for one another. I'm going to preach this again sometimes in October. That is very important. That's the theme of chapter 13. That's one of the reasons he washed their feet. When you get into chapter 14, what I find in that chapter that really stands out to me is obedience. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now I realize you've got to go to seminary to get these things I'm telling you right now. They're very difficult and complicated. To love one another as I have loved you and to keep my commandments. And then the third thing that we spent time with a few weeks ago in chapter 15. Now this is really heavy here. He said, be separate from the world. Those are the three things that stand out to me in those three major chapters as we come separation from the world. I'll tell you something. I believe that if we could accomplish those three things as individuals and as a church, I believe that we could go a long ways for God's kingdom. Now notice with me as we come here this evening, as in the verses I'm going to read again, I'm not going to try to run to too many other passages. But as we come to this section, the latter part from verse 16 to verse 31, what we see in these verses is the sorrow and the joy. He begins in verse 16, and I want you to notice he said, in a little while, and you shall not see me. And again, a little while, and you shall see me, and because I go to the Father. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, what is this that he saith unto us? A little while, and you shall not see me. And again, a little while, and you shall see me, and because I go to the Father. They said therefore, what is this that he saith? A little while, we cannot tell what he saith. And in verse 19, and Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him and said unto them, do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said, a little while and you shall not see me, and again a little while and ye shall see me. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Now, the little while, if you want some other references, we'll not turn to them. We've come through some of them, chapter 7 in verse 33, and chapter 13 and in verse 33. The little while that's mentioned a number of times in these verses from verse 16 to verse 20 is probably referring to the fact of probably a little less than 2 or 3 hours. And he was arrested in the garden. I mean, after this discourse, he goes out into the garden and he is rested, and then 3 days and 3 nights he's in the tomb. So he's talking about, when he says a little while, he's talking about just a matter of hours, a short period of time. He said, and he says, and you shall see me again. You can write down chapter 14, verses 2 and verse 3. Now, you notice with me in verse 20, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Now, as we come here, we find that they would have joy after his resurrection. Now, as they're looking at the cross, and they would see him going to trial and going to the cross, there would be sorrow in their heart. But he's talking about the fact that they not only would have sorrow, but they would have joy. Well, according to chapter 20 and verse 20, we're not going to turn to these verses, but in chapter 20 and verse 20 and Matthew 28 and verse 8, is that when Christ was raised from the dead, they did have joy in their heart. And obviously there'll be joy in our hearts as we contemplate our own resurrection. Now in verse 23 of this chapter, verse 21, he says, "A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow, because her hour is come." Now the Lord's comparing this to the hour of the cross. And he said, "But as soon as she is delivered the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for the joy that a man is born into the world. And ye know, therefore, and ye now therefore have sorrow, but I say, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no more taketh from you." And again, I think we understand what he is saying in these verses. He said, "In that day," verse 23, that day has to do with the day of salvation. It has to do really the whole period of time of the church, the beginning from the resurrection of Jesus Christ when the Holy Spirit comes that he has promised them. So he said in verse 23, "In that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you." When I think about what he's saying in that day, again, I said that day is the day of salvation. It's the period of Christianity, the time in which we live as well. It's beyond the resurrection. He said, "In that day you shall ask me nothing." Well, this is true. After his resurrection, his disciples, how did they pray? They weren't with him anymore. He ascended back into heaven, did he not? So when he was with them, it was a little different, but now that he's going to be gone, how did they pray? They prayed to the Father after he's gone in his name. And that's what he's talking about here. He said in verse 24, "Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full." Now, again, when the Holy Spirit would come, Christ would be absent, as in verse 23. And so they would bring their petitions to the Father in the name of Jesus Christ. A little bit of difference in their praying after that he is gone away. In verse 24, we find that he said, "Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full." After the resurrection, again, they're going to pray in Christ's name. Not before the resurrection, but after the resurrection. Now, in verse 25, "These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs." Proverbs is like parables, and we find that in Matthew 13, verses 13 through 16, that a parable is a truth given and yet is concealed from those who cannot receive it or will not receive it. He says here in verse 25, "These things have I spoken unto you in parables, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. And that day you shall ask in my name. And I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father." Now the next few verses, to about down to verse 33, are some of the main verses in this chapter that point out some tremendous truths and some that we've already studied. But he's just simply talking to them about, it's time that I leave. It is time that I go to the cross. It is getting closer. It is time that I would not only die and be buried and be raised, but I will ascend unto the Father. And he's continually preparing them for this event, because he will be betrayed here just in a matter of hours. Then we find that in verse 30, "Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needeth not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God." Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe?" The emphasis is upon the word "now." Now, up until this time, they had believed. But the question is, was their belief, was their faith strong enough to keep them in the during the trials that lie ahead of before them? In other words, they had believed. I mean, He called them out and they're His disciples. He's trained them for 3 years or so and they had believed. But the question is, was that faith strong enough to carry them through the trials and the tribulations of not only Christ dying on the cross, but what they are going to encounter as they carry out the Great Commission? In verse 32, He said, "Behold, the hour cometh, yea, and now is, that you shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me." When He talks about in this passage, in verse 32, He says that the hour cometh, yea, and now is, it's upon them, that you shall be scattered, and that is what happened. They were scattered. And every man to his own, that is to his own place, his own home, his own abode, and shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. I do want to turn to one passage. Turn to 2 Timothy in chapter 4. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul experienced a similar situation in his life. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, when Paul was carried before the magistrates, and people have a tendency to walk at a distance when they think that they are going to get in trouble. And that's human nature. And the disciples, some of them stood at a distance. You know the story with Peter there and the denial and so forth. And these things happened with the Apostle Paul. We find that in chapter 4, in verse 16, he says, "And at my first answer, no man stood with me." And he's not saying that was no man saved. But this is probably when he's going to court and the trials and going before the magistrates and the martyrdom possibly ahead, and people thinking, well, this is going to happen, you know, to me too. I better distance myself from this man. But he said, "At first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. And I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, and that by me the preaching might be fully known, that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion." The lion there would have to do with the devil. And so we find then that Paul, he was focused, he knew what he was there for, and he was ready to even die for the Lord Jesus Christ. But some of the others were not ready to die for the Lord Jesus Christ. They stood at a distance from the Apostle Paul. I'll tell you what, you get in trouble. You try this now. You get in trouble and see how many will stand close to you when there's the possibility that they may end up in jail also. Well, the Lord said in the book of John in chapter 16, coming back here in verse 32, He said, "Behold, the hour cometh, yea, and now is now rather, now come, that you shall be scattered, and every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me." Paul had the same testimony that God was with him. Then the last verse, again, here is more encouraging verses, or words, I should say. "These things have I spoken unto you." Now this includes not only what we're reading now, but the entire sermon that He's given to them, the entire discourse. "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace." Spent a little time on that this morning. John 14, 27, He talks about the Comforter coming, that you might have peace. John 20 and verse 19, He talks about the peace that He would leave with them. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 and 2, "When they shall say" what? "Peace and safety. Sudden destruction cometh upon them." Talking about the world. Romans 5, talking about you and I. "Said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And then we find in 2 Timothy, Ephesians 2:14, the Bible talks about the peace that was made through the cross of Jesus Christ. So He said, "These things have I spoken to you, that in me ye might have peace." Now look at this carefully. In the world, you shall have tribulation. How many of you believe that tonight? This is the fact. And many times we deny this. And we dealt with the world in chapter 15. He said, the world's going to hate you. They hated me, they'll hate you. He said, whatever they've done to me, they're going to do to you. And so he says here in this passage, he said, in the world you shall have tribulation. Matthew 6:34. Job 14:1. Job said, man that is born of woman is a few days rather and full of trouble. And I believe in this passage he's talking beyond just the normal everyday things that we deal with. He's talking about what would come upon them. Romans 8:38, there in Romans 8, we're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Acts 4:22, we through much tribulation shall enter into the kingdom of God, the Apostle Paul said. 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So what he's saying, he's encouraging his disciples. And he's waited till this time, hours before that he would die on the cross. He's been training them for 3 years or more. And we're coming down to the final hours. By the way, John 17 is the Lord's Prayer. Just wait a minute, I thought the Lord's Prayer was in Luke 11 and Matthew 6. The entire chapter of John 17 is a prayer. He prays for himself, first of all. He prays for his disciples, and he prays for you and I. The entire chapter is a prayer. So he's trying to encourage his disciples. He said, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me, please understand that in me, there's no peace outside of Christ. How many believe that? There is no peace. He said, in me, he said, let me get back here myself. He said, that in me you might have peace, in the world you shall have tribulation. And he said, be of good cheer. That's a word for courage in the face of danger. Be of good cheer. And this word is used in a few other places, but he said, be of good cheer. Now look at this. He said, I have overcome the world. Now, I had several verses I was going to go to in this section, but I'm not going to turn to them. I'm going to give them to you. And as we close, but I want you to notice what he said. He's talking about victory. He said, I have overcome the world. Then the Bible talks about you and I being overcomers. 1 John 5:1-4. How do we overcome? It's by our faith in Jesus Christ. 1 John 4:4. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Revelation 12:9-10-11. I was going to quote that for you. Let me make sure I get that right. Verse 11. Now listen to this. The persecuted brethren, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. They overcame. Overcomers. You see, now I don't think I'm a negative person, but I'm a realist when I read the Scripture. I want what God has said. And when you come to church here, we talk about the good and the bad, or the joy that He offers, or the persecutions that will be upon us, and we try to keep that thing balanced out. If you watch some television preacher every Sunday morning, probably what you're going to hear is it's all about prosperity. It's all about being happy and me feeling good and you feeling good and everybody, you know, everything is just really lovey-dovey. And that's not what we find in the Scripture. He said, it's going to be rough out here, but it's going to be great in Christ. And he said, I have overcome the world. He said, here's where you join your victory. When he hang on the cross in John 19:30, he said, it is finished. He's saying that here's the promise of victory in these last two verses. And he's saying the devil is defeated. The devil is defeated. Revelation 21:7-9 talks about the overcomer inheriting all things. 1 Corinthians 15:27 speaks of the overcomer, the resurrection. John 8:37, the overcomers, he said, nothing shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. He mentions death and a number of things there. Galatians 6:14 and many, many other passages. So let's read this again and we'll close. He said in verse 33, "These things have I spoken unto you, that you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." This is the reality of the gospel, the kingdom, the work that God has given us to do, the truths, and the peace and joy and contentment is only in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we're going to pick up next week in chapter 17, and it is quite a fascinating chapter as well, a lot of truth in the chapter.